The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to Books on the Fly. I'm your host, Gary Puckett, and today my guest is author J.V. Crum III. He is CEO of the Conscious Millionaire Institute, and we will be talking about his book entitled Conscious Millionaire, Grow Your Business by Making a Difference. Our podcast is coming to you through our nationwide media network consisting of 35 individual show hosts, 80 syndication partners, 17 different media domain platforms, and we produce national, regional, and localized on-demand media programs for over 3,300 communities across the country 24/7. We're all about on-demand media on your terms. Well, joining me now from Denver, Colorado, is our featured author, J.V. Crum III. J.V., welcome to Books on the Fly.
Well, Gary, thanks for having me on the show. It's my honor.
Well, it's quite a pleasure. Wow, what a book you have going here, among a lot of other things. You know, before we get into talking about your book, I was hoping that you could tell me about the mission of the Conscious Millionaire Institute.
Sure, absolutely. Well, really what inspired me to create it was that I wanted to build a program that would teach entrepreneurs early to mid-stage, anywhere from getting into the six figures to the building seven-figure businesses, how they could become millionaires, how they could achieve their financial freedom, but do it in a conscious way, a way that resonated with their heart, a way that made a positive impact on other people and on our society and planet, and really create a different path than what I had, you know, created my first level of wealth with, which was with a trucking line. And I always felt something was missing. And then I put that ingredient into my life and I said, this is what I want to teach. And my target is to help at least a million people around the world achieve their financial freedom in a more conscious way, a way that is lifting into higher consciousness, that's bringing value through their products. Because there's a difference between saying I can sell a widget because I've convinced somebody they want it, and I'm selling a product that actually brings real value to somebody's life. And those are the kinds of entrepreneurs I work with and support. And you know, I do that all day long.
Would you refer to that as becoming a business that evolves around being a solutions provider?
A solutions provider, but solutions provider in and of itself doesn't capture the meaning part of it, that there's something meaningful about what you're doing and that it adds a meaningful level to people's lives so that they're uplifted because they bought your products and services. They're better off as human beings and you feel better off at the end of the day and more fulfilled because you did something that you believe really mattered on this planet as opposed to, I just figured out a way to make money.
Sure. Well, you work directly with the Conscious World Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And I know that this foundation supports Conscious World Youth Training Programs and has a goal of reaching youth in more than 160 countries. That's pretty impressive. So can you tell me about the objectives of these training programs? What are you hoping to impart to the youth involved in these training programs? I mean, what's their takeaway?
Well, you know, actually, I want to tell you where I got inspired to create that foundation. And that was my parents. I grew up out in the country. We had absolutely no money. But my parents, every day, it might have been painted on the wall, except my mom never would have had that because we had that neat organized house, right? But it was that you are here on the planet. And because you've been on the planet should be better when you leave. So there are three principles that I'm teaching youth literally around the world. One comes from my book, Conscious Millionaire, and that is the triple win. Create a leadership. I'm teaching leadership. And create leadership in which you, others, and society are going to win together. Then the second thing, and it's really, in a way, the core principle, is just extreme personal responsibility for your life. And the third is that you have a responsibility to contribute. So if I can impart those values to you know, millions of youth in 160 countries, then what we do is trainings to teach them how to consciously lead. And we do that by teaching them how to create projects that are going to make their communities better. Right now, we're taking applications from around the world for youth that are 18 to 25, that's who we work with, who have done a project in the last year that uplifted humanity. And then we are giving a scholarship to the winner of $5,000. And we'll then be getting a podcast interviewing youth once a week all around the world who are doing that, and then lead all those into training programs so that they can learn how to lead and go into any area of life. Because around the world today, in the 21st century, it can no longer be one nation wins and another nation doesn't have any water or food. We've got to find a way to create solutions in which everybody has an opportunity to win. But to do that, everybody's got to be taught you have to take responsibility. It's not someone takes responsibility and somebody else is entitled. We all have to take responsibility to create this.
Sure. Well, so if you had to sum up in just a brief statement, or maybe even one word, what inspired you to write this book, Conscious Millionaire? What made you come to the final decision, this is it, we're going to do it?
It was the desire to empower people.
Excellent. You know, the fundamental principles and strategies in your book, they make sense for any entrepreneur. But my impression is that your book also reflects what can only be called a blended influence of both what I'll call Eastern and Western cultural thinking. Is this at all a fair or accurate statement on my part?
Yeah, it's very accurate, because I'm an extremely driven, Western-trained, you know, I've got three graduate degrees, including a law degree and an MBA, and those are all very strategic kinds of Western ways of thinking. But then I've also lived at a Buddhist monastery. I meditate. I do Qigong. I'm heavily influenced by philosophies of the East, like mindfulness and cultivating an understanding of what is going on in the world around you. So by bringing that kind of consciousness with the millionaire drive of the West, I created Conscious Millionaire that brings the two together.
Wow. Yeah, what a great marriage those two are. You know, for some individuals, reading your book may cause them to, kind of also reflect on the writings of authors such as Ralph Waldo Emerson, Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, the British author James Allen, As a Man Thinketh. And I would include in there even Dr. Norman Vincent Peale with his series on the power of positive thinking. And I think in one way or another, each of these authors believed in the idea you become what you think about all day. Have you had any readers yet point this mild connection out to you?
Yeah, I've had a lot of readers especially point out the connection with the way of thinking in Think and Grow Rich, and that I did that. And then I added coaching at the end of every chapter to it, because one of the things I wanted when I wrote the book is that someone could actually take the book and do something with it that would help them grow their business or even start a business, because I start out with what are the early stages you need to do and the true north you need to identify in yourself is that why is it you even want a business? Why is it you want to be helping people, and what is it that you want to be doing? Because that's got to be your driver, not just like the marketing's your driver. No, the driver is that you really want to do something that matters. That's why you're inspired to build your business. And every great business starts that way.
You know, I would go as far as to say that the passionate determination is the gas that propels you when you're kind of out of gas.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, look, building companies, I've been doing it all my life. It's a roller coaster. In building the regional trucking lines, three times I had to reinvent the company. The truth is you're going to run into roadblocks. The truth is the economy is going to do things you didn't want it to do. You know, everything is not straight line. And if you're not really invested emotionally in what you're doing, the truth is 3 or 4 years into all this mess, you're going to be out of it. And you're going to go, oh, well, this wasn't the right business. And now I need another business. And the truth is maybe it wasn't the right business. But the reason was you weren't invested emotionally in it. You were just invested financially.
Mm-hmm. So, JP, in the context of your book, Conscious Millionaire, explain for our listeners, what does it mean to be conscious?
Well, you know, I contemplated on that, and I want to say I wrote the book 7 times over 7 years. And in each time, as I rewrote it, and it was because I went through different things in my life. Like I got very, very sick with mono. My father died, and then I reflected all over again and said, oh, I really want to make these changes. But what I really came to was realizing there are actually three definitions to conscious. And the first three or four times I was writing the book, even I was getting confused. I was going, well, I seem to be meaning one thing one place and one place and one thing another. So the first definition I give conscious is pure awareness. And that really has a lot to do with Western psychology and basic business approaches, where you're aware of what you want. You're aware of the different mechanisms for the options for getting there, who you need on your team. What are the steps that you need to take? What's going on in the environment around you? So that's the awareness level. The second level, I call it visionary consciousness. You could call it higher consciousness. It's tapping into, if you're going to talk in the Eastern terms, bigger mind. It's where all innovation comes from. It's where all inspiration comes from. And you get a bigger picture of what's possible. That's the part where you get the big vision for your business and the big vision for the products and the programs, the services. You know, that's the Apple. It's Steve Jobs tapping into that and realizing the iPhone without going out and doing market research. That's visionary consciousness. And then the third type is really evolving now and coming to the forefront, and that's social consciousness, where you're concerned about society's problems. And how can you build a business that's going to actually solve real problems out in society? And of course, at this point in time, some of the biggest companies in the world are doing that with how are we going to have water? How are we going to have new ways to have electricity and power that's not going to be oil driven? Those are socially conscious types of businesses.
Mm-hmm. You created the three-step formula for creating wealth. What are the three steps and how can our listeners use them in their business or as they organize their personal finances?
Well, I want to say that the formula came out of me going back and reflecting on, I turned around a family-owned company that was bankrupt and at 23 and never had any business background and did it rather quickly. So when I was writing the book, you have to go back and address, well, how did that happen? And I identified that every success I'd ever had in my own life, I was doing these three steps. So I'm going to give you the three steps so you have them. It's conscious, focused, action. And then I just want to give you a brief description of each so that you get a good grasp of what this is about. First of all, the conscious step to me is the most important. And the biggest failing that a lot of entrepreneurs do is they want to jump right in. When I'm coaching clients, it's like they want to, okay, let's go do this. And I'm going, wait, you have no idea what direction you're going and what your options are yet. You can't take action. It might be the wrong action. You may be going the wrong direction. So the conscious part from a business standpoint, that's getting laser clear about what's that number one result that you want to create. And then what are your options for getting there and what resources do you need? So you have certain skills, but what other skills do you need? Then once you're absolutely clear about that result and you've gone out, and this may include surveying your customers or prospects to find out, well, what do they really want? And how does that relate to that bigger vision that you have? How do the two come together? That's all part of the conscious part. So you really are set up right. Then focused action go together because you want to focus not just your mind, because that's the Western part alone, but you need to focus where your heart's in it. And I say, when you can say that you've got your whole heart in it, you're fully invested, that's when you're totally focused on the heart level and your body. We do a lot here with health because health is critical. Your body's got to be ready to take action or you're not going to achieve anything. So your mind, your heart, your emotional core, and your body have to be all focused in that one direction. And then the action part, there are really three parts to the action part as well. You've got to list out what are all the actions that will get you efficiently and effectively to that result and get rid of all the actions that are just noise. And then what order do they need to come in? And then finally, does something need to happen before one of those actions occurs internal to your organization? Maybe somebody else needs to do part of a project, or maybe there's an external, like you're going to do something that's related to a celebration that occurs, say it's a Christmas holidays and you're getting ready for retail. So they're date sensitive things, but the whole concept is to be conscious of where you're headed and all your options and what's going on at all times, and then focus only on the actions that will get you there and get rid of all the rest.
You know, I realize that this may be somewhat of a tough question, but in your opinion, what is the biggest reason most entrepreneurs fail? And the percentage is quite high.
Yeah, the percentage is a good 80, 90%. Number one, and it's really very simple, they just don't have enough customers. You know, it's not that complicated. Most businesses go out of business because they don't have enough sales. So they haven't done the right marketing and sales, but that's really a symptom of them not knowing where they're going and what the value is that they're offering and who wants that value. Because if you're out there, I talked to an entrepreneur yesterday, and they had just horrible failure for the last 5 years, and yet are really brilliant and very, very talented. And I looked at their website and I said, you know, can I be, you know, just objective with you? And I said, the website says you're going to do these grand things, but it doesn't tell me who they're for or what the results are going to be or how it's going to help anyone. And so you're scattered. And I think the biggest problem is that people really get scattered rather than just focusing on what really matters and getting out there and bringing in the sales as quickly as possible. But the right sales, because you're clear about what your value is that you're bringing to the market and who wants that value.
Sure, I get it. You know, when it comes to success, do you believe in luck or do you think that each of us create our own luck?
Yeah, I'm not a big luck person, but I'm a huge synchronicity person. I'll explain.
Oh, I love the word synchronicity. Yeah.
Yeah. So luck is that somehow you're at the roulette wheel and it just ends up on your black number, right?
Yeah, it's totally random.
It's totally random. I don't think it's how the universe works to begin with. I think that the universe is filled with meaning. And so that's how I wake up in the morning, that I think there is a perfect timing going on all around you. And the biggest secret, I call it millionaire inner zone, is getting in that zone where you are just totally connected to that energy around you. And that starts with really learning how to be present. The biggest secret to getting in the zone is to be very, very present. And as you are, I walk in a room. For instance, I'll tell the story of Arianna Huffington. I had my book. She was at a conference. I signed it to her. I went up and I gave her my book. And she looks at it and she looks at me. I didn't ask for anything. I just wanted to meet her, right? And she looks at my book and she goes, would you like to write for the Huffington Post? Well, obviously, I would love to write for the Huffington Post. And in 2 weeks, I had my own column. That's synchronicity. But it happened because I was in that zone and I took action based on what felt authentic. There's a real authentic piece to being in the zone that a lot of people miss. So when you're present and you're open to possibility and you're very authentic, life just opens doorways for you all the time. And that's the synchronicity. I think it's the biggest leverage point that any entrepreneur can learn is how to be in that zone.
You know, I would go as far as to say, though, that many people, even though the exact same opportunities may present themselves, they're not prepared in their mind to even recognize them as opportunities.
Absolutely. And that's where I have a master's in clinical psych. And I do one of the huge pieces of work that I do and I love doing is helping people work with their mindset and shift, identify their beliefs and shift them. I've worked with so many clients that I can tell you every person, not even one wasn't this way. Every person, and includes myself, it'll include you. It includes Warren Buffett. After all, he's not a trillionaire, right? So there's still a ceiling going on. I want to point out is that at some deep level, everything that relates that blocks us, the ways that we keep ourselves from receiving, is there's a piece around worthy and deserve. And for each person, it would be one of those words, but there's a piece there. And when you identify that piece and shift that one belief, it's like all these other rocks come falling down and things begin to open up at a new level.
Yeah. In your book, Conscious Millionaire, you present 7 habits. I'm not going to ask you to present each of them, but if you could choose just one, which habit would it be and why?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's always clear to me which one I want to talk about. And when you're creating something, and I'm just putting this out there because someone listening may be an author, I knew I wanted 7 habits and I kept changing one of them, right? Because something wasn't right. And it was the one that I finally said, oh, that's what's missing, was the one that was the most important. But sometimes you have to keep dig, right? And it's do what's right. Do the right thing. if you build your business and your life always going through life and always doing every business transaction from a mindset of I'm going to do what's right here, not just for me, not just for the customer, not just for the world, but for everyone involved, that every aspect of who could benefit from this transaction is in your mind and you're always focusing on, well, when a problem comes up, it isn't go to the rules. You know, I've had people, you know, that I go, you have a 30-day guarantee. But I tell my people, look, if 90 days later somebody calls up and they're unhappy, give them the money back. It's okay. Because I want people really getting value. And if they didn't really get value, the right thing to do is give them the money back. And when I call up and I deal with these big corporations and they're like, they want to read me their rule book, I'm going nuts. I'm going, that's crazy. It's one of the big things that entrepreneurs, and when I say small entrepreneurs, I mean people up to $10 million in revenue, which is the majority of companies out there. I think something like 0.1% have more than that. So we're in the position where we can make the right decision all the time because we're right there empowering our people and we know what's going on.
In your writings, you refer to what you call the millionaire inner zone. What is this and what does it mean to be in that zone?
Well, we were talking about zone earlier, and there's really two aspects to it. So one I call flow zone, and that's the way you want to be on a daily basis, where you literally feel like you're flowing through the day. And I teach a process to get people into that. And that's the general way. And when you're flowing through the day that way, that's when you'll just notice. You'll be, say you're in Starbucks, you know, we'll give a shout out to Starbucks, right? And you're in line and you're thinking about something and somebody else says something and that's that synchronicity and it has real personal meaning to you, but you're paying attention. You're aware. Then the second way to be in that millionaire inner zone, and this I modeled by going and looking what Olympic athletes were doing, what, you know, golfers, and reading a lot about sports people. And that's what I call the focus zone. So you get hyper-focused on a specific outcome that you want, and that's a different process, but that will get you there very, very quickly. So it's all about being in the zone. And the zone, think of the zone as being in this energy field. I mean, what is going on in the world at all times? It's all made up of energy. Einstein helped us understand that. There's an energy field around all of us. When you're connected to that, you're literally more connected to the other people in the room because they're part of that energy field too.
You know, as we look around us, of course, the world is not without its many problems, big and small. But if I may, just putting all that aside for a moment, you know, I believe we are living in an extraordinarily exciting time. In so many ways, many paradigms have shifted or been eliminated altogether. Innovation is creating just extraordinary opportunities around the globe. However, I think these new and exciting times require a different set of leaders with a totally fresh style of leadership. And in your book, I was intrigued by this, you refer to conscious leadership. So I was wondering if you could share with our listeners, what does it mean to be a conscious leader? And in your view, why is that so important in today's world?
Well, yes, and that's exactly what inspired me to have the nonprofit to create conscious leaders all around the world who are youth and going into every area of life. A conscious leader is one who has a real vision for what they want to create. And that vision is not what I will call ego-driven in the sense of it's all about me and what do I get out of it and, you know, what's my aggrandizement and how much money do I get in my bank account and who do I know that's famous and all of that. That vision is really, and you know, the very popular phrase these days, servant leadership. That vision is really about being of service to others. It's about taking your life and doing something that matters far beyond you as a human being, and it's a bigger field, and then connecting with people in a way that energizes them and communicates that vision so they want to be involved with you as well, so that you together have a team that's moving forward, that's very organic and dynamic, that can create change that really matters in a positive, uplifting way for everyone that you come in contact with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think that's the kind of leadership we need. So it's not self. I mean, we look at, you know, I'll just say we're going into the presidential election. I don't think it matters which party you look at, the candidates are clearly out for their power, right? I think you'd have to be delusional not to know that. But what if we had candidates that were really just out to change the world in a positive way? What a difference that would be.
Well, surely. And there are those among the citizenry that wish that were the case, I'm sure.
Well, when I go to the voting booth, I would really like to be voting for somebody who first and foremost wasn't looking out for themselves, but really was first and foremost looking out for the world.
Yeah. JB, it's been said that you correctly predicted the stock market crash of 2001 and the real estate and stock market crash of what actually ended up being 2007 to 2009.
Right.
Difficult times, to say the least. Now, you know, no one walks around with the ability to totally predict the future. But as you look out across the landscape, what do you see on the financial horizon as we go forward? And in your view, what can an individual do to prepare for what may be coming here?
Well, I see another travesty coming, and I see it in the next 3 to 5 years. It could get here a little earlier, but we may be able to hold things together. The problem that I'm seeing, and I'm a numbers guy, I'm trained as a tax attorney, so I'm always running numbers in my head. And what's really alarming to me is that in the last couple of months in particular, how many people I've met who independently have come to similar views. And it's not like we read an article someplace. We got there because we keep looking at it. And to me, I just say the numbers don't work. And here's what I mean on three levels. One, we're going to create inflation with what we're doing with a 0.5% interest rate. It's inevitable. Right now, what bothers me about the GDP is that as long as we've had such low, record low interest rates, we should have had a 6 to 7 GDP, and we don't have anything close to that. So we're propping up once again for the third time around, we're propping up a society and an economy falsely with these super, super low interest rates that on a historical norm can't stay here. So what's going to happen is we're going to create inflation. I think that's going to be the trigger point. And the Fed has no choice at that point but to raise interest rates. So the three things that will happen is that as we raise interest rates, people don't buy real estate prices. They buy mortgage payments. So real estate in the aggregate, not necessarily every place. New York might be immune at this point. There's so many people buying. But real estate's going to have to come down again. The stock market's normed against the riskless rate, which right now is 0.5%, but let's say that's 3 or 4%. 4 is normal. The stock market will come down not just because of that, but it will come down because earnings will decrease as the cost of capital goes up and more people have trouble making money and going out and buying things. But unfortunately, I don't think that's the big problem. The big problem is that we have a humongous national debt. And right now, we're able to put our heads in the sand and pretend because we're paying super, super low cost of paying interest. But you raise that interest even 1%, and I don't think we can pay the national debt, or we'll be right at the edge. But you raise it 2 or 3%, and we're going to be a country that is basically bankrupt. And the only way out of that would be just massively printing dollars that make the dollar worthless. So I have a big concern of what happens when this artificial party is over.
So part of this involves what I would just frame as a currency crisis.
Yeah, that's what I see. And my goal over the next 3 years, I just have been cutting deals as to where I'm taking my own companies, and the cash flow that I want to create is to diversify my cash into investments and currencies outside of the U.S. dollar. Right now, I'm leasing rather than purchasing real estate because I'm concerned about what's going to happen 2 or 3 years from now if I want to sell that real estate, especially in some markets. And so I think the more cash that you can have and the more diversified you are, not just in U.S. denominated things, but you're diversified outside of the U.S. dollar and have good, and there are good investments all over the world. And every average person can, you know, just typical person can access them today. But I think you've got to be diversified in terms of your currency holdings.
JB, if a listener wanted to learn more about your work and get their hands on a copy of your book, Conscious Millionaire, do you have a website they can visit?
Yep, absolutely. Go to consciousmillionaire.com. I have 5 days a week, I have the Conscious Millionaire podcast. You can learn all about that at the website. We have the book, Conscious Millionaire, Grow Your Business by Making a Difference. I was really fortunate. I think it's been 8 weeks now that we were the number one book on Amazon and had over 50,000 books downloaded. So you can get it in Kindle, softback, hardback, however you'd like it. And we're launching a new program, Conscious Millionaire Business Academy, to help entrepreneurs build six and seven figure businesses that will give them their financial freedom by making a real positive impact in the world.
Very cool. JV, I've enjoyed our conversation. Hopefully our listeners have learned something new as well. I know I did. I want to thank you for joining me here on the show. And listeners, if you'd like to learn more about today's guest, JV Crum III, and his book, Conscious Millionaire, just visit his website, consciousmillionaire.com. Listeners, that's our program for today. If you have any public comments about this show, you can leave them directly on the show page in the comments section. We appreciate hearing from our listeners. We truly do. And we ask that you tell your friends, family, and associates about this program and our comprehensive selection of shows on the flypod.com New Media Network. For the Flypod Media Network, I've been your host, Gary Puckett, coming to you free and clear on your portable media device, tablet, or your desktop computer, all through the New Media Network program feeds of theflypod.com. Remember, when it comes to the media, we are what's next. Until next time, thank you for joining us and listening in here at Books on the Fly.